What's your favorite film?
God, that's awful.
Favorite?
Awful.
Awful.
Your favorite film is
awful. Hello, and welcome to Your Favorite Film is Awful, the weekly podcast where we invite guests on to defend their favorite films against negative reviews. As always, I'm Luke, the natural-born Slytherin, ambition and all. And with me, as always, the very confident Gryffindor. It's my friend, unfortunately. It is Charlie. How are you?
I'm good, my man. How good. Are you?
I'm very well, thank good. You. Have you brought a guest?
I have indeed, yeah.
Good, because otherwise we wouldn't have anything to do for the next hour. We just have to go between us and nobody wants that.
No one's here, I don't know.
Who's the guest?
His name is Clark. Shy Clark. Introduce yourself.
Good evening.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's Sean Connery.
Are you terrible. Sean Connery?
No, that was awful. I'm sorry.
That was pretty bad.
Hello, how are you two?
Very well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very, very good. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for accepting the invitation.
You're welcome.
What have you been up to this week? Seen anything of interest?
I saw twice now. I've seen Far From Home.
Ah, okay. And what are your thoughts?
I enjoyed it.
Oh.
I loved it.
There was a bit of hesitation before you said enjoyed.
No, it's more, I was thinking of the perfect word. It is a brilliant film, a very, very good film. Because I've loved Mysterio since I was a kid. I have absolutely loved him.
You've got a tattoo on your arm.
And I absolutely love. I loved his background story, the reason why he does what he does, his conflict with Spider-Man is amazing. And even Quentin Beck himself, like, because how Jake Gyllenhaal's, his performance in this film is unbelievable. It's wicked. Mm. And it's a very, very good film. Very, very good. I won't spoil anything or say much more, but it's a wicked, wicked film.
Okay, nice. And we like out of fives here, so give this brilliant film a score out of five, please.
I would say, because every film has its mistakes and problems, there is no perfect film. So I'd say a four, because it's very, very up there with Spider-Man films. There are a couple of tad things that could have been done better, or they could have included more of this and that, but four.
A very high. That's solid.
Yeah, very high, solid, just one-off.
Okay. Charles, what have you done this week?
What have I done? I have... Well, first of all, we went to see a film together.
We did.
With a Q&A.
We did. It was... Let me see if I can remember this straight off the bat. One Cut of the Dead.
That's the one. One Cut of the Dead, yep. Which I've been really excited to see for a while. And there was a Q&A with the one of the main actresses in the film. And I'm glad I was excited for a while because it was brilliant.
It was.
I really, really enjoyed it. It was like better than I thought it was going to be as well.
Have you ever heard of this film?
No, I've not.
Okay, so basic synopsis, which doesn't ruin anything, is that a failing director goes to an abandoned World War II treatment plant?
Yes.
And while he's recording like this shitty zombie film, real zombies come and attack them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a comedy. Yeah.
It's a comedy.
It's a comedy. Right, okay. But it gets so crazy, and I think this whole film is such a good sort of almost metaphor for what it feels like when you're trying to make a film.
Yeah.
I loved it. Go check it out. I don't want to ruin anything for anyone, but everyone should check this movie out, especially if you're big fan of the genre.
Exactly, and you've kind of accidentally stolen what I was going to bring to the table. So have you seen anything else?
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine.
I watched a few films actually. I watched Vice, which I really liked. I know a lot of people don't like it, but I quite enjoyed it. And I don't know if this because I don't know much about Dick Cheney himself. So, and people felt like some of it's being rammed down their throat, but I didn't mind it being rammed down my throat because I didn't quite know too much about it. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was. I really liked it. I really like Adam McKay anyway. I really like The Big Short. And I just feel like this was more of that. There's some really clever things that he does in it. I don't want to ruin it just in case people want to watch it. That I think make that type of movie a lot more interesting to watch than they usually are. But yeah, it's not for everyone though. I know a lot of people don't like it. I've got a lot of friends. I think I'm alone pretty much with this one.
Oh, you just slipped in. I've got a lot of friends.
I've got a lot of friends that don't like it. Not just in general. Yeah, I've got a lot of friends.
Got a lot of friends.
Check me out. Yeah, and I actually watched Fighting with My Family as well, the wrestling movie.
The Rock, yeah.
The Rock. Yeah, it's, you know, it was nice.
Was it the feel-good film of the year, as all feel-good films are advertised?
You know, it's what you expect it to be, you know what I mean? And, you know, it makes you feel good at the end. But also sad. It made me feel sad for quite a lot of it. Okay. I'm not going to lie. But yeah. But yeah, no, it's quite fun. And that was it.
That was it?
I think so, yeah. Probably remember it later.
Yeah, it was probably a couple. Shy. I'm pretty sure you know what you're in for today.
I hope so.
Shai, what is the film that you have brought?
The film that I have brought today is Skyfall.
Skyfall, James Bond. Okay.
Directed by Sam Mendes.
Okay, and for those at home who either haven't seen it recently or have not seen the film, what is Skyfall about?
It's the return of your favourite 00. If he is your favourite, he may not be, but either way, he's the return of Daniel Craig. For another exciting Bond film, it opens up with a mission that Bond's on, and something happens to which we then find out that M's past is haunting her. So you find out along the film that M's past is coming back to haunt her, and Bond has to figure out who it is, what it is, what's happening, and it's back. This was the film that brought everything back for me, and it's a wicked film, but that's best rough synopsis I can give without having too much given away ish.
Okay, sure. If Charlie, do you have anything to add?
I guess you're being really secretive. You're making me feel like I need to be secretive about it now.
Yeah, you know, we're about to dissect this film, right? This is the reminder time something happens, be like, James Bond got shot.
Yeah, he's in hiding.
He disappeared for at least 6 months.
Yes. Let's say, yeah, he gets, at the beginning, he fails his mission. Well, he intentionally fails his mission. A lot of people don't notice this, but he intentionally fails his mission because he needs some time away. I can see your face and you're thinking, There's a lot of layers to this film that people don't really see, and I'll get into this. I will.
Okay, I'm interested in this.
But yeah, he failed his mission, and yeah, then cuts to 6 months later, and M is being attacked by someone from her past, and she is losing people around her left, right, and centre, and it's up to Bond to figure out what can be done or how save her.
Yeah, MI6 is under attack. Because of maybe some problems, M's past, like you said.
Why are we being so secretive?
Yeah, you know what?
There is an agent called Silver who M fucked over. He's back for revenge.
There you go. Do you know what?
This is Pirates of the Caribbean, right. Salazar's Revenge, but James Bond edition.
More or less, yeah. Oh, God, Salazar's Revenge.
Mixed
with Home Alone.
Home Alone at the end. Jesus, okay. Well, Skyfall is actually awful.
Okay.
And the Atheist Republic...
Of course.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it gives it a 0 out of 10 and states, "My wife loves JB films and shoot-em-ups with chase scenes. Even she rates this film a 0. March of the Penguins has more character and plot development than Skyfall. I could really feel for the penguins. I have no feelings for the characters in Skyfall."
I mean, that's extremely weird. Because someone, if they have loved JB for so many years, then they would appreciate what Skyfall's done. Because when looking back at Casino Royale and Quantum, because for me, Casino Royale was a very good film. But it wasn't a Bond film. A lot of people think... Because there were a lot of basic layers for Bond. We'll have one on
this.
We're
going to have an argument within an argument.
Because it is a Bond film, but it isn't. It's not a proper Bond film because the key aspects for a Bond film were missing in that. There was no Q. There was no Moneypenny. There was no gadgets. There was not a Bond car. Yes, there is the Aston Martin that rolls... What is it, 19 times or something? I know it made the Guinness World Record. It rolls so many times. I mean, it was a very gritty action agent film or super spy film. But if you were to strip the fact that it's Bond and put something else over it, it would easily get away with that. You wouldn't think it's Bond at all. The only thing that makes it Bond is the... Because I've seen the original Casino Royale, and it's nothing like this film. They're two very different films. But it's just M that more or less gives it that Bond, the fact that it's still Judi Dench from Die Another Day and the previous Pierce Brosnan Bond films. That's what gives it the Bond feel. If she wasn't in it, then because they're all new cast, you would just think it's just a super spy film as opposed to a Bond film. Because Bond is very, very, very... It's got a very specific system and a very specific structure.
Okay, but to just slot in real quick before your argument, Skyfall, change all of the character names.
Mm.
So it's not a Bond film anymore.
Mm.
Why is it still a Bond film? Because if your argument was if you do that with Casino Royale, it would just be a different film. It wouldn't be a Bond film. Mm. So what elements are these that you're speaking about which make Skyfall a Bond film, but Casino Royale not?
Because in Skyfall, you have the classic, again, something that Casino didn't. In Skyfall, you've got the classic cliches. You've got the classic one-liners, the things that Bond's always been known for. And you've got the classic villain that always has I don't know how to say it, a defect. As in, there's always a Bond villain that has a specific defect. Jaws with his teeth, Oddjob with his hat, and so on and so on. Baron Samedi with...
Oddjob's
well, that's not a defect.
Is that he wears a hat.
Yes,
it has nothing to do with the fact that he's a short character. It's he wears a bowler hat.
Okay, maybe not... Okay, who am I thinking? Knick-Knack, the fact that he was 3'2", and he could fight... He could just... keep up with Bond was a bit weird.
But Mads Mikkelsen like whips people's ball sacks. So
I mean, no, don't get me wrong.
That's his trait.
That torture scene was amazing. That was a very good scene. Really good. That was brilliant. And even Renard, because I loved, because Renard was wicked in The World Is Not Enough. The fact that he couldn't feel pain, and that was because I love Robert Carlyle. Mm. He's a brilliant actor in everything he's been in, and for him to play a villain. Specifically for Bond. That's why I'm looking forward to the new one, because Rami Malek as a villain I think will be very interesting and very different. But yes, now...
That's fine, that's fine. I think you made some good points, to be fair. I just feel... I do agree with you. You're saying it hasn't got as much as the Bond elements before, but what I liked about Casino Royale was that it was making that turn. We'd seen so many Bond films that follow the same structure... Which apart from, I think it's Her Majesty's Service. I think that's the only one of the only ones that sort of flips it on its head. And I think what I quite liked about Casino Royale was it took an aspect of Bond, the sort of suave, talking, smooth talking Bond, put him in a card game against a villain who's just as equally as suave and talking, and made a really intense, great action film. And I think that was for me. I was like, okay, this is Bond is back sort of thing, even though. I know people are going to hate me for this, but even though Pierce Brosnan is my favourite Bond, just for his look, not necessarily his movies, not necessarily his movies. I do like the Daniel Craig movies, but I think Pierce Brosnan is such a missed opportunity because I think he could have been, that his look wise, I think that's why he looked, when I think of Bond, but maybe that's because I grew up with him.
I grew up with him as well. Yeah, and
same,
he's,
I did as well.
I love him.
Yeah, he's, I do as well.
Everyone's got their Doctor and their James Bond.
Yep. So true.
And good old Pierce is mine.
British so things.
Yeah. You know, we're definitely. British, by the way. I don't know, after 20 odd episodes, you've realised that yet.
No, exactly. With Casino Royale, I think what was interesting as well, because obviously they were rebooting Bond again. And it was actually Tarantino that gave him the idea to do Casino Royale, to remake it, because he originally wanted to direct it, but they were like, no. And I kind of get why, because like it's so Tarantino. It would have been so Tarantino, and he probably wouldn't want to do a trilogy, and I think there was other problems he didn't want to do. And yeah, he wanted Pierce Brosnan as well, funny enough. Skyfall, though, I do really like this film. I like it a lot. And I do like it. For the reasons you were saying, it does try to bring back those Bond elements that I felt like have been missing from Quantum of Solace and...
Yeah, for Casino, for a number of years, at least since 2000 and... Because Die Another Day was 2002 or 2003, and then since then there was a massive gap. And then when Casino came out, it was great, but then it was missing certain elements that made it feel more Bond. And then Quantum came out, which is a film that nobody really talks about much, because Quantum's a very filler film.
Yeah.
And then Skyfall came out and it brought everything back. And you think, wow, it's great. And from what you said about Pierce Brosnan and his look, I've always had this theory, not theory, I've always had this belief that each actor has brought out a certain characteristic of the written character of Bond.
Oh, that's very true, yeah.
So Sean Connery, I feel like, brought out nearly everything.
Yeah.
Sean Connery was the original, and he was almost the first.
Mm.
He brought out everything.
Mm.
Roger Moore brought out the comedy.
Yes, and the comedy, definitely.
The raised eyebrow. He brought that into it. And he was
sort of ludicrous element, which I very much enjoy.
he was absolutely... George Lazenby brought out the romantic side.
Yeah,
true. Because he was the only one who got married. Even though that film was originally written for Sean Connery, he did bring out the romantic side.
I think he was a model before, wasn't he?
And then Timothy Dalton brought out the rogue side, because in one of his films he turned against MI6 to go after someone who went after his friend. So they brought out a sort of rogue, not selfish, but just for him sort of side.
Mm.
Pierce Brosnan brought out the charm and the sort of the tuxedo. It brought that back.
It brought
the look, and it sort of introduced the gaming aspect for Bond as well, because then you had classic ones like Nightfire and Agent Underfire, and it really revolved, and it was a very, very good sort of time.
Mm.
And Daniel Craig brought out the agility and the strength.
Yeah, I feel like Daniel Craig feels like he would be the most legitimate spy. It sounds like he actually looks like he'd fuck you up. Like, not like the others couldn't, but like, Joey. But I guess I kind of like the more suave elements. Mm. But yeah, I do like Daniel Craig. I think as well, we talked about the spy stuff. I think this is what I'm hoping from the new Bond film, is I hope they go further with that. I really hope they go further. I feel like we haven't really been given some really cool spy stuff in the Daniel Craig films just yet.
Not enough.
And I think because obviously they're going for that more realistic style and trying, obviously, you've got things like Mission Impossible that are competing with it. They don't want to become too similar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd like to see them try to do some more with this next one. But yeah, I think Skyfall's really good. I think what I liked about that as well is that opening chase scene.
Oh, it's phenomenal. It was such a brilliant scene. And the fact that... Because when I discovered that most of that was stunted, like it was at, like the fight on the train, I love, because it's all real. Apart from obviously the dead close-ups and the bit under the bridge that when they go into a tunnel.
Mm.
I mean, if they'd filmed that real, I'd be gobsmacked. But the actual fights on the train were all real, most done by Daniel Craig, and I find that amazing, because the fact that it's brilliant, and the way how it ends, because like I was saying before, where Bond not faked his death, he knew what he was doing when he got shot, and the reason being is because while he was being, if you pay attention to the film, if you watch the film again, if you look where he was being choked as he was being held, M said in his ear 3 times, take the shot. On the second one, He had, this is how good of an agent he is, he had 5 seconds to think, why am I with an organisation that will kill me to get what they want? Why am I working for these people? So he had to specifically think for the exact moment that she was going to shoot, which was the third time, just after the third time she said it, take the bloody shot. And then had the quickest reaction to not be in the kill, in the line of fire. Because what a lot of people, because I pointed this out the other day, when watching the film, the biggest underlying layer that a lot of people don't realise or notice is that the villain, Mr. Silver, he is effectively Bond's future. If Bond had... Because when Bond decided to sort of let himself fall off the bridge and get hit, packed by the bullet, and then take 6 months off, if he had remained off, or if M had actually been honest about the medical and said, you failed, and then he walks out, he would have then eventually have stayed away, slowly turned into Silver, because the same thing happened to Silver, was betrayed by M. He obviously tried to take a cyanide capsule, it failed, it scarred him for life inside, and he slowly became the villain that he was today. So the same thing would have happened to Bond. So that's what this film's trying to show. One agent, previous agent from M's past, that this had happened to, and this new one that M doesn't want it to happen to again. That's why she lies about the medical. That's why she wants Bond out there doing it, because she doesn't want the same thing to happen, and it's
yeah, I agree. I think that's the best stuff that in the film. The villain, his relationship with Bond, I think, is some of the best stuff in the film.
It's brilliant. Because really Silver's a very, very different villain. Very different villain. Because I've always thought, imagine if Silver, rather than played by... I forgot his name.
Javier Bardem.
Yes, thank you. Rather than played by him, if it was played by... Say if it was played by Pierce Brosnan. That would be a mind-blowing thing to show that, oh, a previous
people
agent,
were saying that, yeah. Because that would be amazing.
Yeah. Like, I don't think any of the reviews are going to touch on it, but that's the one thing I don't like about Skyfall, is that it's confirmed that James Bond is his actual name.
Yes,
because like, that may be in the books, but with the films with the different versions of that character, I'd always liked, and a lot of the other people had like had that headcanon, that 007 James Bond was the whole code name.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's why I liked this film. That's the opposite to why I like this film. Because I liked that they, even because this was a reboot, but I liked that they actually sort of fired the shot of, yes, this character does exist and this is his backstory. Mm. Here's where he grew up. But they gave different views of that. So they used Bond was his actual name and he was an orphan, blah, blah, that was his actual backstory. They did the passing of the code name for M. Because M, when she died, then Mallory.
Her name's Emma, her name
is Olivia Mansfield.
Mansfield.
Yeah, so Mansfield. So
and
M.
Then Mallory.
And then Mallory took over and then became M. So they kind of show two versions of passed down. So, like, the name, code name passed down, M to M, and then a real backstory for Bond. Because it's always been up in the air before, like you said, headcanon about, oh, maybe it's just different agent, he died, someone else took over, same name.
Well, yeah, it could be the very British Doctor Who thing of...
Regenerate Bond.
Exactly. Next review, though, because I feel like you're gushing too much about this film, and I need to bring it down a few pegs.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
We have Inverse Critic, 2 out of 10. I don't want to give it a 2, but it's just, in the end, my score. Believe it or not, I haven't watched many Bond movies. They just haven't worked for me somehow. They're supposed to have gadgets, a destroy the world in a way plot, humor, and most of all, action. Most of the action scenes were less than a minute and took a while for the next one to come. Bond has no weapons, and I know that's the point this time, but it just didn't work. And the cast has pretty much no chemistry or any signs of having life outside of work. The action scenes at the end were nice, though.
That's a really rigid... That's I don't know what to think of that.
What I like is, believe it or not, I haven't watched many Bond films. They don't work for me, but they're meant to be about these things.
That was really weird. Yeah.
How are you going to tell us what they're supposed to be about when you haven't watched every... Oh, that's unbelievable. Because there are Bond films that haven't had barely... Dr. No, because it was the first Bond film, did not have... I'm 96% convinced there was no gadget in that. There wasn't even a Bond car. It was a very... Because the film... And that's what I'm looking forward to, the new one, because it's going back to Jamaica. And the first one was set in Jamaica. So that's what I'm loving and I can't wait. But again... Oh, and I might have to go back on a point because, like I said about Casino Royale, it didn't have any gadgets and it doesn't really make it that much of a Bond film. But then Skyfall did have gadgets. So I don't understand the logic.
There's a palm reader and a radio. That's not really a gadget.
But I think that's what I like about the comedy with the radio is the fact that Bond does take the piss and go, oh, it's the latest thing from Q Branch. It's called a radio. But the thing is, that specific device has been used in Goldfinger. It's the exact same tracking device, and that's why it's just a sort of reliving the moment. That's what that is. The palm reader, is a finger, but that's also been done in Bond. That was done in License to Kill. That was done with Timothy Dalton when he had a sniper that had fingerprint technology on the sniper.
Mm.
So again, those two things have been done before. So it's more or less just sort of, and even the joke that Q made, it's like, "Oh, were you expecting an exploding pen? We don't do that anymore." Like, it's more.
So they're moving on, sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like moving on.
Wasted opportunity, though.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Pierce Brosnan with John Cleese as Q. He was fucking great.
He was R. Technically. Do you remember in World Is Not Enough? He's like, oh, if you're Q, does that make him R? Like, but you know, he is Q, yeah. But no, that was wicked. Like, one of my favourite scenes in Die Another Day with Q is when they go into this room and it's full of the old gadgets.
I remember that bit.
Wicked.
Like, I always remember that bit.
You just see so many of the old gadgets, and it's brilliant. And it just makes you relive old Bond moments just from seeing a few in the background. And the fact that he interferes with a couple of them, like the jetpack from Thunderball, or the blade in the shoe from Russia with Love.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Different things. And I like it. It's nice. Even in Skyfall, not many people notice it. The primary weapon that Bond uses in the classic ones is a Walther PPK, an old handgun.
Okay.
He uses that in this film. Very, very subtle, but he uses that in this film. Because if you notice, in the Pierce Brosnan ones, after Tomorrow Never Dies, so World Is Not Enough and Die Another Day, he uses a P99, which is a fatter, more modern handgun. But then in Skyfall, he's sort of gone back to the classic. So they sort of, with this film, Skyfall, they've given a lot of shout to the classic and a lot of shout to the past. And it's what makes the film what it is. Iconic for the past. Even Spectre did that. There was a lot. My favourite moment in Spectre is when they're in the desert.
Spectre. I have not seen
Oh,
Spectre.
God. Have you not?
So we have to get to that.
I won't talk about it much because you haven't seen it and because it's not that great. I mean, don't get me wrong. Blofeld, or what was his name he was given in that? Franz Oberhauser. But there's a whole thing with that. The reason why they didn't use Blofeld for many years and they didn't properly use Blofeld in this is because there was a lawsuit issue with Blofeld years ago. So that's why in, I believe it's The Spy Who Loved Me, or For Your Eyes Only, the opening of the film, Bond is visiting his wife's grave, and then he goes in a helicopter, and it's taken over by Blofeld. And then he then flies towards Blofeld, picks him up, because he's in a wheelchair from the previous film, and dumps him in a giant chimney and kills him. That was basically the company's...
I don't remember that.
It's a wicked opening.
I watched a lot of these
film.
When I was younger. So.
Like, it's just the company's way of saying, right, we're done with Blofeld. That's our visual way of saying, no more. They didn't even name him and they didn't show his face. You only see the back of his head,
he's
bald,
done.
And with a cat. So you're left to imagine that it's Blofeld. But so there was this whole legal thing with Blofeld. That's why in that film he's known as Franz Oberhauser. And he's not... known as Blofeld till right at the end. He renames himself as Franz Oberhauser Blofeld. And so it's just brilliant. But with Spectre, there's one very, very good moment where they're standing in the desert waiting for sort of an invitation to his base. And a 1966, I'm not too sure if I got that right, but a very old car drives up next to them. And it's one of the original cars from Goldfinger.
I remember that.
The car that he drove.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it stuff like that, when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's amazing. And
the music plays, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I remember being like, oh, this is finally a good bit. Sorry. I'm trying not to be negative about Spectre. Because you know that I'll be negative about films, but I'm not the biggest fan of that movie.
No, I don't know. Spectre is just...
Oof, but Skyfall, I think what Skyfall does quite well is... This new Bond is obviously leaning towards a more sort of realistic Bond, and I think we've had a lot of films that, like Kingsman and the Mission Impossible series, that have tried to sort of capture, in my opinion, sometimes better the sort of what you think of Bond in the early days. I think now that Bond's sort of become a bit more, it's trying to be more realistic. I think sometimes that's where it's let itself down.
Yeah.
However, I do think in Skyfall they have a nice balance.
Yeah.
Like the opening, like I said earlier, the opening chase is something straight out of a Mission Impossible movie. Like it's insane. Like the way they're driving across on motorbikes across the buildings and then on top of the train and ducking underneath, like it's bonkers. Like that's not realistic in the slightest. Do you know what I'm saying? But I was like, oh, this is great. This is more of what I want. And I liked that the villain was a lot more sort of scarred and that kind of you know, that like you said, went back to the hallmarks of the Bond series.
Traditional villain.
Yeah, exactly, the traditional villains. And I think I liked the idea that he was a fellow agent. I really liked that they tried to play with. Obviously, it follows the structure of a Bond film, but they also said, okay, let's actually question the sort of morals of the MI6 a little bit.
Exactly.
And I think that's what I quite liked about this one.
Yeah. They basically tried to do a GoldenEye, where GoldenEye, you had 006.
Yeah.
It's the same sort of thing, but what if 006 had actually gone rogue before
and then
came back to go after MI6? it's basically that, because everybody loved GoldenEye. A lot of people say GoldenEye
is one of the best. GoldenEye is like the best Pierce Brosnan.
There you go. Then. Like, because GoldenEye is amazing. It had a really good story, a really good twist you wouldn't have seen. GoldenEye is like the equivalent of Terminator 2 in terms of, it's a really good film. You had that sort of twist of, because Terminator 2, I loved, brilliant film.
Greatest action movie of all time.
But I do, but the moment when they're walking in the corridor and he drops the flowers and has the shotgun, he's pointing it towards, because at that stage when you're watching it for the first time, you don't know he's actually the good guy. And
I've had that conversation recently came on and was like, yeah, that exact thing. So they knew Schwarzenegger was the Terminator. Mm. And so that entire time they were like, oh, so this guy that looks obviously like a villain must be the hero, because the other guy is Schwarzenegger.
Exactly.
Yeah, we had a friend who had never seen them and watched them for the first time and was like, I didn't know he'd be the bad guy. Like, it was pretty cool. I totally agree with what you're saying there.
Hit me with another, Mr. Luke.
Absolutely. I'm more than happy to oblige with this 1 out of 10 from Die Shop. Every sequence in film is borrow from past Bond films. Q is an incompetent twink. Home Alone homage towards the end. Some reason Q is dumb. I did not know Bond was in the Nolanverse. Did Chris Nolan direct this and Sam Mendes just take credit?
I wish Chris Nolan directed it.
Yeah, no, same.
That would be amazing. That would be
wicked.
Awkward how they imply M and Bond have a romantic relationship. Q is stupid. Joker was not needed in a Bond spy thriller.
Yeah, that's quite funny.
And finally, the reference that male spies would have to seduce other men during some missions, same for women. I really liked that. The finally did something different.
Wait, what? Is that how they wrote it?
That's unique, that is.
Yeah, and finally, the reference that male spies would have to seduce other men during some missions, same for women, is true. I really liked that the finally did something different.
Well written. Elegant.
Listener, I know you're not the one making these reviews, but please include some punctuation. It's kind of hard to... Like, that's all one long sentence. I'm not sure which bit is true. I assume it's talking about how when Silver's, like, flirting with Bond...
On the chair.
Which is a great... That's a really
Bond's
great moment.
Like, ooh, what makes you think this is my first time?
Yeah.
And it's
Yeah, no, that... Because that scene was good. That was a very good scene. Because it's very different.
The whole rap speech.
Yeah, no, I love that speech. It's wicked. I mean, this person, they clearly don't like Q.
Q is an incompetent twink... For some reason, is dumb and is stupid.
Well, I'll touch on that. Because Ben Whishaw's, I think he's a really good actor. Like, he's been in a few things. And being Q, because being Q is very... Because you had Desmond Llewellyn... I can never pronounce his last name properly. Desmond Llewellyn for many years. And he was a really, really, really good Q. And then John Cleese took over. And then now Ben Whishaw. And Ben Whishaw, he's a really good Q. And... The only thing, he does feel a bit, because he's very, I've seen a few, Simon Pegg-ish for Mission Impossible way in terms of.
I see what you mean, yeah.
Do you see, especially Spectre. Spectre, they much looked at Simon Pegg and
went, yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
Do that. Whereas Skyfall was a bit different because it introduced him in a nice way where he gave him the gadgets, they were in the museum looking at the painting, fine. And then you had the moment where he was hacking into, I loved that moment because it was very like, oh, I invented them. I invented, like, it showed how intelligent Q actually really is. But then, yes, he does fall for the old Trojan horse trick of plugging something external into. I mean, even we know that. If we get a USB, you always get pre-warnings. Are you sure you want to plug this in? Like, you just, I don't know.
You know, but, you know, things are on the, you know, there's danger on the horizon. You know, you've got to make quick decisions.
Yeah, no, it's true. But no, it was a very... But I forgot what else they said now. It was just the Q that mainly stuck out. I hate Q. I don't like Q. No Q.
No Q. Home Alone homage.
The Home Alone thing. Now, I do get that because no Bond films ever... That's a very weird way to end a Bond film with him at the end of it. But I think that was more just showing the importance of how powerful Bond can be with two guns... And an old house. That's basically it. I mean, yeah, you could say Home Alone, but Home Alone, I'm pretty sure Macaulay Culkin didn't kill any of the people inside his house.
Only because it was a family friend.
Exactly. Because Ryan Reynolds is now rebooting it, isn't he?
Is he?
I've heard. Really? I'm sure I've read that somewhere. Ryan Reynolds is rebooting Home Alone.
Is it Ryan Reynolds or Home Alone?
He's now Macaulay Culkin.
And he's still being like a big kid.
That would fit so well.
It would.
Well, I'm sorry, because you keep going on, but it's now actually a 0 out of 10 film from Sim zero. Matt. Yeah.
Well, I think we had a 0 before.
Well, you know, it got bumped up a little bit and now it's back down to 0.
Well, I consider 0
no,
as a
it's
number.
A 0 now.
It's still a number.
So. Skyfall's greatest failure? Depicting James Bond as both a physical and emotional cripple. I go to see a Bond movie because I want to see Bond kick ass while sipping a martini with bikini-clad girls at his side.
No, I'm cutting you up here. No. So that's actually what I think is really good about this film is actually it gives Bond some flaws.
Thank you, yeah.
I mean, I think the problem with Bond in general is that he is a bit too perfect sometimes. And I think what was good about this film was that they showed you the other side to him, that he isn't, you know, he's a flawed, he's a crippled man, he has a dark past that he's always trying to deal with.
Because he's always been a perfect womanizing drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what he's always been known as. And this film, pretty much like Iron Man 3, where it showed him having anxiety, show a really good hero at their weakest point. You need to show that. You need to give the character humanity. And that's what Skyfall did. It opened with him realizing, why am I working for something that wants to kill me to get what they want? Why should I do this? And then he brought that up when he was speaking to M, saying, oh, I heard you. Take the bloody shot. He was pissed off. He needed time off. So he went off. He did drugs. He drunk so much. He got into scorpion games, as you saw. He did all of this stuff. And then when he did his medical, and he was obviously a bit shaken and rigid. And it also showed, because I love the moment when he's having his word association test. And he's saying all these different things. And then the guy says Skyfall. And then you can see on his face, that's the last thing he wants to hear, given what he's trying to do. He wants to get back into the field. And the last thing he wants to be brought up with is his childhood. And it's just something that's just sort of pissed him off a bit. But you need to show that. Like you said, you can't be perfect all the time.
Yeah, I think it makes it a bit more, gives him a bit more dimension to him as well. Like,
yeah,
he's just
definitely
way more interesting. Finding out a bit more about him, even though they still leave enough for you to be mysterious, which is what I like. I don't want to know too much about him, do you?
Yeah.
But a good amount where you're like, okay, that's an interesting path that he has. And I think I like the way it gets called back at the end, and the finale is more about his sort of personal problem. But obviously it goes back to his own, the home, doesn't it?
Oh yeah. His stately home. Yeah.
So,
to Skyfall.
Yeah, exactly. Skyfall. Yeah. Which I thought was a nice idea. And I think especially, I mean, Roger Deakins' cinematography, towards that end bit with the fire and,
that's
incredible. I think I watched a video about how they did that, and it's loads of giant orange lights that cause that fire thing. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And I was like, wow, that's incredible, because you'd think, oh, he just made the big fire there, and that's how they light it with the fire.
It's
like, no, of course not. They have loads of big lights, and that's what they do.
They always try to do something big, and like Spectre, one of the best scenes. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still a bad film.
What's going on with you, Spectre?
You're here for Skyfall.
We're not for Spectre.
I know, but it's just, there's one bit towards. It won't be spoilery for you, Luke, not too much. But there's a bit.
He doesn't want to. Yeah.
Actually,
that's fine. Just say it.
The bit towards the last quarter of the film when the base gets blown up.
Oh, yeah.
That made the Guinness World Records for the largest explosion in film history. It was the big, and you can see it, and it was bad. And that's what I like about each.
No, I agree. I'm being negative. This is not like me. What's going on? I need to stop. Sorry. I need to stop.
You need to. Okay, well, we come now to the penultimate until we're done.
By the way, I've been really impressed with your James Bond knowledge. Yeah, it's really, really in depth. I really like it. I've got a few questions actually I want to ask you after we've gone through the reviews.
Okay.
Yeah. And just a side note, I now realise why no one's like done a film as part of like Star Wars or something, which I thought someone would buy it now, because this entire time you've referred to
other
films.
I've quite enjoyed it though.
We'd come on and be like, oh yeah, Last Jedi is my favorite film, and then spend the majority of the time speaking about Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
It's like, oh right, I see the problems.
I never expected it to be Bond as well, because like it's not exactly all of them are connected. But I really I've actually quite enjoyed it. So
Okay, so this one's kind of more of a call and response sort of thing. It's many, many questions that this reviewer has brought up in this 1 out of 10 review. So after each question, I'll pause slightly to give you a chance to give a quick response.
Okay, all right.
So this is from MB _. Why didn't the bad guy just kill Q at home or when he exploded her headquarters?
Would you mean to answer each one or just...
Well, you can give like a quick response, nothing too major.
I think it's because it's always the same with a lot of villains. They always want to show their power and torture them around them before they torture them themselves. It's that's such a gimmick. It's
makes kind of
sense, like, it's the same thing. The problem is that's the thing with, again, every other Bond film. Every other Bond film with a villain, why don't they just kill Bond? Why do they have to strap them to a table and put a laser in between their legs and go, right... It's now going to be a minute until you die, and in between that time, I'll interrogate you, and then you're gonna tell me something I need to know, and then I'm gonna keep you alive. Every Bond film's got
that gimmick, you know, and this is what bothers me. And Luke knows it bothers me. Look, and that's why he's waiting to read the rest of the review, because he knows the rest of the review is gonna really bother me, and that's why he keeps nodding his head and smiling and giving hand signs, because he knows I'm gonna erupt, and I can feel it bubbling.
Why didn't Bond ask for a doctor to remove the fragment rather than using a knife in his left hand?
That's...
No one cares.
I was going to say, that's not really...
No one cares.
Why doesn't Bond go to the toilet?
Oh, yeah,
why doesn't Bond have a glass of water every now and then?
I'm asking the question.
Why don't we see Bond walk from this place to this place? How does he get from this... How does he get from England all the way over that country so quickly?
Yeah, why didn't...
It's called cutting. It's called editing. It's
why didn't the bad guy just kill Bond? What did he want him for?
Want him? What do you mean? Oh, as in why he captured him?
Yeah, why did he capture him?
Because then Bond had to then bring him to MI to the other base of MI6. That makes okay. Carry on.
Why didn't they just hide in the tunnel bad guy didn't know it existed?
Has this guy just watched an entire episode of CinemaSins written off some fucking bullshit that they've given out, and now decided to make a review using all of that, which is not even a review in itself? He's just criticizing the plots, the fucking plot holes.
Why did the priest hole lead to nowhere?
No, it didn't. It led to
the middle of the field.
Yeah, but the priest... It was probably... Wait, priest hole. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Why did Bond walk over the ice when everyone else went around?
How do you know everyone else went around? Because you didn't see them go around. That's the thing. Again, you don't see on screen them going round. You have no idea.
They did everything explained for.
Where did the ice henchmen appear from?
Ice henchman. Guy who comes behind.
He literally appears out of nowhere. In fairness, he does appear out of nowhere.
I can understand that. That's more or less just a matter of he probably just came round the corner too quick for the shot to justify, oh yeah, he was there the whole time. So, yeah, I can get...
Why did Q plug the bad guy's PC into the network rather than an isolated PC?
Because... good point, carry on.
Why did
they... Because people make mistakes. That's why.
That's
the thing. It's like, if everyone did everything right in the film, you wouldn't have a film.
And the thing is as well, their base was blown up. So probably their backup probably didn't have the facilities to do that. They probably just thought, okay, we need to do this now.
Yeah, they're being blown up. So they're like, shit, yeah, exactly. Just fucking plug it anywhere.
But they've got agents' names that are leaking out. They need to get this done. Sod all the faff. Just get it over with. Yeah.
Why did they lock the bad guy in a glass room, which is locked electronically, rather than just use a padlock?
Probably because of... I don't know, however the base was built. Probably, I don't think the base was probably built to hold prisoners.
In fairness, I think that one's more of a... It was at the times. I think
exactly.
Star Trek Into the Darkness, Khan is held in a glass cell. We have Loki and Thor held in a glass cell.
The Dark Knight, Joker.
Glass cell is just very...
That become, the whole thing, I want to be here. That trope become a big thing in that sort of era, didn't it? Of
everyone wanted to be in jail. Why did Bond set off the radio beacon on the island, and why didn't the electronics mastermind bad guy not have him checked?
because he wanted to be captured in the first place to be brought to the base. I don't understand the logic.
Did you?
That's a good answer.
Did you pay attention?
When did the bad guy put the explosives on the roof of the chamber letting the train through? Wouldn't he have used his time better running away?
No, that was probably like a pre-planned, because this is one of those villains that had everything pre-planned. So he knew where he was going, where he'd be followed, and had contingencies. So the bombs were probably set way long ago, so that when he got there, he then knew exactly when to destroy.
And even if it wasn't, because of course he makes that whole punchline of, oh, it's the latest thing, radio yeah. Boom, and then boom.
Yeah.
He had loads of henchmen. Like, interacts with so many people dressed up as police officers that give him stuff.
Exactly.
So, of course, he got someone else to do it.
Exactly.
Done. Why didn't they just...
This is just it. Nemesis, isn't it?
MB is your hated person.
Oh, dear.
Where are we?
I don't hate you really, MB, you know?
No, he does.
But your review...
His arc length.
God!
Why didn't they just withdraw all the at-risk agents?
Probably because, depending on... That, again, we don't know what their missions are, where they are, how deep in cover they are. We can't just be like, right, sorry, you need to leave now, goodbye. But how do you know it's that easy to contact them? Also, they're deep in cover.
They're also agents that are very good at what they do.
Why didn't Bond shoot him at any point? He'd been tortured for months by the Chinese. Why would he talk to them?
Who's he? What's going on here?
Silver is tortured, and that's why he did the cyanide capsule. Why would Bond think that they could interrogate him and get information when the Chinese couldn't?
Yeah, but they didn't. Bond didn't. Is it when he was arrested in the base underground? M did say, you'll be transferred to another prison. He didn't say, you'll be held here for interrogation. They were already doing that with whole hacking his computer system. So they didn't really need him. They were just hacking his stuff. So they weren't doing any of that.
Fair enough. Why was there more screen time dedicated to Judi Dench than Daniel Craig?
Because it's her final film. That's a given. Like, come on.
Wait, Shia is batting these guys off. Like, do you know Neo in the end of The Matrix? When he gets shot and he turns up and then he turns to the side and he starts like whacking them with one hand. That's what Shia's doing to this guy right now.
Or, because there's multiple questions, a better analogy would be Matrix Reloaded with multiple agents.
We don't speak about that.
We do watch the third film.
I know, I need
Have
to
you
see
not
it.
Seen the third?
I've not seen the third one, no.
Okay, fair enough.
I love the Matrix one, and I just can't put myself.
Fair enough, I can understand that.
Why did Bond's face change from Bronson to Craig, yet M is still Dench?
I think it's more just, that's just a nod to Judi Dench, and just a sort of... Just for the actor herself, because she has been known to be a brilliant actor, and she did a really good job in the previous films. Keep her on, because they have used in the previous films, the older ones. They did. If you pay attention to their M's, very weird. They had the same one for two films, a different one for one film. Then the original one came back for one film. Then this new one came out of nowhere. So they were really up and down with M.
Yeah.
It's very, very odd, but yeah.
Why would you cut up a perfectly good opening action scene to an old woman moaning in an office every 30 seconds?
That's quite funny.
I mean, again, I suppose to show... Because that's what I liked about it, the fact that you could see... It's not just you only see the action and that's it. You can see the perspective of them trying to get information and trying to... They're frustrated. They're like, report, what's happening? We can't see. Because now they're blind, because there's a moment when they go past... They are tracking, and they can only rely on CCTV, and it's really rough. So she's frustrated, and she's... And it's showing the importance of, again, her decision to say, take the shot. And then the shot's taken, and then it sort of turns... She then turns around to the rain, thinking... Oh, I've done it again. I've got another agent killed.
Right. Yeah, I actually quite like the team aspect in this film as well. Like, it's not just Bond on his own.
Which we usually used to.
It was a bit of everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was a send-off to, obviously, Judi Dench, but I really liked...
Yeah.
I really liked that.
Okay, and the final question. Can I get a refund? And the answer there is no, because there was nothing wrong with the format you watched the film. You just didn't like
the film. We've all of us here have worked in a cinema, and at some point, and we know that you can't get a refund, I'm afraid, because you chose the film.
Exactly. There was nothing wrong with the projector. There was nothing wrong with the cinema experience. You just picked the wrong film.
You just like the film.
And even then, it's the same with DVD. Was there anything wrong with the actual disc? No. Was there anything wrong with the sound? Anything? No. No. Then you just picked a bad movie.
Exactly.
Which, of course, this might be. So you've heard the negative. Now, Shai, tell the people why Skyfall is a good film.
It is, just because it brings back everything. It brings back a lot of classic elements that you can obviously see with Moneypenny and Q and Gadget and the Bond car. Like even the original DB5, like seeing that, and the most heartbreaking moment for me wasn't M dying at the end. That was sad. That was quite sad. But it was the Aston Martin being blown up. Honestly, my God, I'd never dropped my jaw in a lot of films, but that was horrible, seeing that car blown up. Because I'm used to seeing the Aston Martin, the modern ones, have been trashed before, and other previous Bond cars have been blown up. But seeing that car blown up, it's the equivalent of, in Star Wars, seeing the Millennium Falcon being blown up. If you see that will shock. That's what I think will happen in the last film. I know that's off topic, I feel like to end the Skywalker saga, I feel like they will destroy the Millennium Falcon, and that will pierce quite a lot of people's hearts, because that's the last thing Han Solo left, apart from Chewie. Yeah. But that will be heartbreaking to see, and I feel like because Lando's also in it, it will also hit him hard because it's his ship. So I feel like that will happen. But going back to Skyfall.
Just quickly.
Yes.
Talking about things that make me sad towards the end of Skyfall.
Yes.
Was that bullshit choke that he kills him with underwater. With his leg.
Oh, the leg.
That is some bullshit right there. I was like, what?
Because he's
that
squeezing.
Doesn't work.
He's squeezing for so much. And then he does like one final judder. Yeah. And you think, that did it. That last judder.
He could have just popped his head out of that of the vice that he's like, there was no gap, there was nothing
just
closing
out
the back of his head. Sorry.
No, I agree.
Continue.
That scene's very like, that bit is ridiculous, but then I do like the science of when he looked up, he couldn't see. I did like that.
Because
I was thinking, you can't actually see where you need to get out.
Yeah, yeah.
So then he cleverly used the flare to actually see
that
the
was cool.
Hole.
The whole scene's cool. I'm just saying that one little
bit. But no, that
one. Yeah. That one little, that's just me being a snob.
Yeah,
a little martial arts snob.
Combat snob.
Combat snob, yeah.
But this film is wicked. And the fact that, yes, it does give you the elements of this character, James Bond, does have a history. You do see his parents' grave, and it is quite sad. Like, you see Andrew and Monique's grave, and you think, that's sad. And growing up with Bond, I've always wanted to half know his backstory, but half see the agent actually die on screen, and then we have a new agent at the end. So the same way how M was done. But the fact that they did both in the same film is wicked. So they did M... One M dies, another one takes over, and they did Bond, giving him his history. That was enough. That was a beautiful way of doing it. And I love what they did with Moneypenny. Throughout the whole film, you didn't know who she was until at the end. So, my name's Eve Moneypenny. It's like, wow, you're Moneypenny. And it was brilliant, because Moneypenny's always been a desk jockey, always. She's always been at the desk. She's always been the person that Bond flirts with before a mission, and then that's it. Whereas this film was different. It was very... very gritty.
Gave
her
a bit
role.
More to do.
Gave her a lot more. Like, it really did the character justice. The M replacement, because everybody knew the actor from Harry Potter, from playing Voldemort, so it was different seeing him in this role, but he fitted it very well. And one of the only things Spectre's good for is Mallory, or M, because he is actually pretty decent. Him and Andrew Scott, he did a very, very good role, because he was a good villain for Spectre, he was. Even then, Blofeld wasn't that bad, but he was very good, because he always plays dark roles very well. But you know, so yeah, Skyfall is my favourite one, because I've always been a Bond fanatic for years, and seeing them do multiple sort of canon sort of finales or whatever in this one film is brilliant. The fact that they gave a good send off for a character that's been in for years, and even the character in general, even M, just showing a key character in Bond die is wicked. It's very different. It's like showing Q die or Moneypenny die. Because they've done that once before in Die Another Day, where it was that training montage, and you saw Moneypenny dead on the table. But you didn't know it was a training montage. not trait VR. It was a VR training thing.
Yeah. Yes,
that bit. Because he was training, and then you don't know it's a training thing because he's just back at MI6 cleaning his weapon, and he suddenly hears gunshots, walks out the door, and Moneypenny's dead, and you think, what's going on? And then you find out at the end it's a hologram, and you think, okay, wow, but that's still, you know, that's quite an impact to show. But yeah, it's a very, very, very awesome film, and definitely my favourite.
Nice.
Beautiful.
Got a quick question for you, though.
Yes, you do.
If you can do it quickly, answer this question quickly.
Okay.
Can you give me your favourite Bond film from each Bond, each Bond actor?
Okay, so Sean Connery, for me, it would be Thunderball.
Ooh, okay. Mine's from Russian Roulette.
Eyelid. Oh, no, fair. No, but I really like Thunderball. Love Thunderball. So. George Lazenby wanted one film.
Yeah, I can't count that.
Roger Moore, I think it would be A View to a Kill. View to a Kill, definitely a good film. Timothy Dalton, I would say License to Kill. Pierce Brosnan, everyone says GoldenEye.
Yeah.
And GoldenEye is really, really good. Especially because Sean Bean is wicked.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the first one I watched. The first one I watched was Tomorrow Never Dies.
Okay.
And Daniel Craig's, Skyfall. Because Skyfall, just, amazing.
Nice for one. Me, I think Piers Brosnan, Die Another Day is actually quite up there. Because I like how fucking random it is.
Mate, great. As a kid, I fucking loved that movie.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up as an adult, and I was getting into films and stuff. And everyone was like, talking about Die Another Day is like one of the worst ones. Oh, and I was like, what? Like, I remember as a kid being like, that was like the best one. And I watched it, and I was like, it's still kind of fun. It's silly, you know.
There are people out there that are like, that was the one where Bond went from like the normal spy who he is in GoldenEye to superhuman.
Yeah. Because it's superhuman with like the campiness of Moonraker.
Oh, he had to fly. Double take of the pigeon.
So good.
Because Die Another Day, it has a really good soundtrack. Very good soundtrack. And
the ice third act, I always remember.
It was a very good film. It was just very, that whole ending bit on the plane. And it was just,
so good.
It was just, I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
tasty. It's very nice. Charlie, Skyfall, say words.
Yeah, I like Skyfall. It's good. I do like it. I wasn't one of those people that watched it and loved it straight away. I've always preferred Casino Royale out of the Daniel Craig films. But I do like it. I think it's got some really nice stuff in it that I've discussed already. And I mean, Deakin's cinematography is beautiful in it. And I think Sam Mendes takes it in interesting places. Javier Bardem's a memorable villain. I think he's part of the villain canon now in terms of the ones you remember in the Bond films. Mm. So yeah, a solid entry for the Bond films. How about yourself, Luke?
I'd say solid as well. I did enjoy it. It's not my favourite Bond. It's not. One of the reviews spoke about how they didn't watch many Bond films, but this is what Bond's about. And like, part of me is like, where were the gadgets? Where was the craziness? It was rebooted along with the Dark Knight stuff, and so it was this whole let's ground it into reality. And it's like, nah, let's not do that. Let's keep some of those funner aspects and do weird shit with this character. Let's have every villain be, let's destroy the world, let's do that, let's make everything stupidly high stakes.
So just Austin Powers, basically. I'll build a laser on the moon.
I think me and Luke are big fans of the Mission Impossible series.
Mission Impossible, it's one that I think that's definitely helped Mission Impossible, because they
definitely
started off like realistic, but then it was just the face masks that were a bit weird. And then you have the new one where it's like,
they're brilliant.
Oh yeah,
they're
fucking brilliant. They know what they are now. Like shotguns.
Well, four changed that, didn't it? Because four. Anyway, but yeah.
We're going to... I can feel Mission Impossible may have stolen some of the Bond fans and been like, nah, you want the crazy shit, come over here.
No, I'll agree on that one, definitely. Especially the recent Mission Impossible, because they have been very good. Very good.
Yeah. Exactly. Shai, thank you for coming along.
You are most welcome.
Thank you.
Your knowledge was real good. I'm glad that you really enjoyed all of the Bond films before you got here, because me and Charlie only watched Skyfall and evidently we were underprepared.
You watched every single Bond film before you came here.
We gave him a long time ago, and he did it.
I genuinely did. Like last night I did, and I've just got so much of the classic films in my head stuffed in there. And Brilliant. They'll never leave.
That's
brilliant. Love it. Enough. I love it.
Charlie, if the listener would like to know where we are on the socials, where could they find us?
They can find us on Twitter at @favefilmisawful. They can find us on Instagram, @yourfavoritefilmisawful, and Facebook, @yourfavoritefilmisawful.
So, beautiful. Yeah. Listener, thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.